More than 40 million doses of coronavirus vaccines have been administered in the U.S. so far, but to end the pandemic, we'll need to vaccinate a substantial portion of the global population, not just Americans. So we want to check in now on how that effort is going in the rest of the world. And to do that, we have three NPR correspondents with us. China correspondent John Ruich. Hi, John.
Hi there.
Rob Schmitz is in Berlin. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
And Ader Peralta is in Nairobi. Hello, Ader.
Hey there.
Let's start with you, Ader, in Africa. You know, today in South Africa, which has the highest number of cases and deaths on the continent, they've halted the rollout of a much-anticipated AstraZeneca vaccine after a study, which we should mention has not yet been peer-reviewed, suggests the vaccine isn't as effective against the South African coronavirus variant. So how big a blow is that to efforts to fight the pandemic there?
It's huge. I mean, just last week, people were celebrating. President Cyril Ramaphosa was at the airport receiving the first 1 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine. I mean, the shipment itself got a hero's welcome. It was broadcast live on national TV. As you said, you know, South Africa has suffered tremendously during this pandemic, and the vaccine was seen as a hope that the country could emerge from it. And now, those vaccines are on hold because of the study that you mentioned. It was small, but it found that the AstraZeneca vaccine, the only vaccine that South Africa had received, did not prevent mild to moderate illness caused by this new variant that is dominant in South Africa. And that same study also found that the new variant was able to reinfect South Africans who had already suffered from the original coronavirus. So South African scientists gave a pretty grim assessment of the future. They said that this variant is a wake-up call, that vaccines are not the panacea. They said that we're likely to live with this virus for the rest of our lives, and we should change our expectations. We shouldn't expect, they say, that vaccines will end this pandemic, but maybe they can prevent severe disease and maybe keep people out of hospitals.
And there's understandable frustration there. South Africa's president, who until recently was the chair of the Africa Union, has accused rich countries of hoarding vaccines. So, Ader, how far behind is Africa when it comes to rolling out COVID vaccines?
Super, super behind. Only one country in sub-Saharan Africa has started giving out vaccines, and those were very few, like 50 of them. And look, the South African variant is thought to be spreading throughout the continent, and that is worrying because COVAX, which is a program to get vaccines to poorer countries, the vaccine they are distributing most widely is that AstraZeneca one. And if you look at that distribution schedule, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine or the Novavax vaccines, which do have some effectiveness against the South African strain, those will not start rolling out via this scheme in any significant numbers until the third quarter of this year.
Yeah, a lot of caveats there. And even that best case scenario leaves some room for improvement, to say the least. Rob, let's turn to Europe, though, because the continent had promised to make vaccines equally available to all of its 27 member states. But now it's lagging behind both the U.S. and the U.K. It's even embroiled in a trade dispute with Britain over supply of the AstraZeneca vaccine that we were just discussing. So what is going on there?
Yeah, a note to self, when you insist on securing hundreds of millions of doses of vaccines for 27 countries, do it early and make sure those whom you're ordering from can follow through. The EU leadership did not do these things, and as a result, European countries are far behind the US and the UK in vaccinating their citizens. Much of the blame is focused on Ursula von der Leyen. She's the president of the EU Commission, and she was the one who early on persuaded the EU's member states to let her and the EU bureaucracy take care of securing vaccines. The EU agency that approves vaccines took far too long to do its job. That's part of the reason that AstraZeneca could not deliver on its order to the EU. And when it became clear that the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna vaccines were ahead of the others in their trials, the EU didn't bother to change gears and order more of those vaccines. The UK has administered 18 doses per 100 people. The US is at 12 doses per 100. Compare that to just 4 doses per 100 Spaniards, Germans, and Italians, and you've got a lot of Europeans who feel like they're being left behind.
Well, what's the effect of that then, Rob? Because some of those countries that you just mentioned were among the hardest hit in the world. So how bad are things now?
Things are bad. The new coronavirus variants from the UK and the one we just talked about with Adar from South Africa have spread throughout the continent by now, and these are more transmissible mutations of the virus, and it's left some countries' healthcare systems totally overwhelmed. I think it's helpful to look at the incidence rate, that is, how many individuals are infected per 100,000 people over the past week. Currently, that number in Portugal and Spain is more than 400, and by comparison, the number for the U.S. right now is 247. So Portugal, Spain, Czech Republic, and other Eastern European countries, these are the big hotspots in the EU at the moment. Germany, where I am, has managed to get its incidence rate under 80 with its latest lockdown, but it's been a struggle. For much of Europe, the vaccine is sorely needed right now.
You know, one other point of comparison, of course, is China. And we just recently heard the French president, Emmanuel Macron, addressing the Atlantic Council, and he said that China's vaccine effort is a clear diplomatic success and added that that's a little bit humiliating for us. And he and German Chancellor Angela Merkel have said they actually would use vaccines from Russia or China if the EU approved them. Could that actually happen, Rob? And if so, what would that tell you about the state of vaccine rollouts in Europe?
Well, theoretically, it could happen, but here's why it might not happen. The European Medicines Agency, which is in charge of approving vaccines for the EU, typically takes around 2 months to approve a vaccine. So that could be maybe spring before that happens. And by then, the great European vaccine shortage may very well be a thing of the past. You know, BioNTech is a German company, and it's scheduled to open a massive production facility in Germany for its vaccine with Pfizer by the end of this month. And that will greatly increase the number of doses for the EU. It's likely that by then, AstraZeneca and Moderna's vaccines will be more readily available, too. So it's a big question whether the Chinese and Russian vaccines will actually be administered here.
All right. Well, and John Ruich, I want to come to you for the latest on what's going on in China. We just heard that European leaders are calling that effort a success. And the timing is important because this weekend marks the Lunar New Year, which is a major holiday in East Asia and usually sees a lot of travel. So how has China been stepping up its vaccine drive to prepare for that?
Yeah, China did really well at getting the pandemic under control and developing vaccines quite quickly, but the rollout has been slower than a lot of people expected. By the middle of last week, there were just north of 31 million shots that had been administered, prioritizing healthcare and transport sectors. They've set a goal of 50 million shots by the Lunar New Year, which is this coming Friday. They may miss that target. Either way, it's a tiny fraction of the population of 1.4 billion people. So the government is taking other steps. You know, Lunar New Year, as you say, it's a huge travel season in China. Hundreds of millions of people traditionally hit the road. And that's a nightmare from a disease control standpoint. So the government's trying to limit travel. They're requiring COVID tests for some travelers and quarantines. They're encouraging migrant workers, the backbone of this blue-collar labor force, to stay put during the Chinese New Year, not go home, which is a big ask. And in some places, giving out cash, so they'll do so. The Chinese equivalent of Netflix, this streaming service called iQIYI, is actually offering free access in some areas so people can enjoy themselves a little bit, despite not doing what they'd normally be doing at this time of year.
Nice incentive. You can sit home and stream for free, I suppose. So that's what's going on in China. But what about the rest of the region? I mean, Japan, South Korea, Hong Kong, they're all moving much more slowly. In fact, South Korea, for example, isn't going to start vaccinating people over 65 until May. Is that because of a supply problem?
Well, supply is part of it. I mean, both countries have done well at controlling the pandemic. In South Korea's case, they've been a model, but they were slow out of the gate with vaccines. The government didn't start to enter into purchase negotiations until late into the fall. So they've got a plan now. They're gathering doses from various sources. Reportedly, they have over 100 million doses now, which is going to be enough to inoculate their population of 52 million people. They're starting to administer them this month, and the government's aim is to have more than 30 million people vaccinated by September. For Japan, the big preoccupation is the Summer Olympics. You'll recall that it was postponed from last year. It's scheduled to start in late July. The government there wants everyone vaccinated ahead of time. They have 126 million people. And they're starting next week, but they've also caught flack for being slow off the mark with vaccines. Japan is the last G7 country to get the ball rolling.
Really sort of have two back-to-back in a way, because as you say, you've got Tokyo planning to come up this summer. And then before we know it, Beijing 2022 for the Winter Olympics will be here as well. That's NPR China correspondent John Ruich. We've also been speaking with NPR's Rob Schmitz in Berlin and NPR's Adar Peralta in Nairobi. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.